Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, October 10th, and it is 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 52, paragraph 2, which begins with, "We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply," and ends with, "Of course it was." Today's readers are Joanne L. for the 12 Steps, Kenny L. C. for the 12 Traditions, Margaret D. will read and comment on the text for us, and Diane B. will close us out with page 164. Alex K. and Leslie M. are going to close us out with as newcomer greeter and sharing some announcements for you. So the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21814. That's 21814. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21820. That's 21820. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Oh, good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. So great to hear your voice. And welcome everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. I'm from Rhode Island. I'm still doing my writing, and I'm still being recovered. Here we go, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of all these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please read the 12 traditions for us.
Thank you very much, Elaine, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. two for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 52, paragraph 2. And I will ask Margaret D. to please begin reading for us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And here we go. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships, check. We couldn't control our emotional natures, check. We were a prey to misery and depression, check, check. We couldn't make a living, check. We had a feeling of uselessness, check. We were full of fear, check. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people, check. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. What a paragraph. And I can identify with absolutely every one of these bedevilments. I've heard people in programs say that these are the promises of living in active compulsive eating. And I know for me that was it. I mean, every single one of these, the trouble with personal relationships, that didn't start when I was 25. That started about 6 months after I was born when I wanted to get fed before one of my brothers or sisters, you know, or I wanted what I wanted when I wanted as an infant. This is basic stuff for me. We couldn't control our emotional natures. Well, if I'm having trouble with personal relationships, I guarantee you that I am not able to control my emotional natures. Or nature, which is generally, if you're not giving me what I want, somehow I'm going to figure out how to get it, whether it's through manipulation or just flat out punching you in the nose. and taking it from you, which, you know, you could do if you were 4 or 5 years old and your brother or sister was 2 or 3. Unfortunately, it's really a poor, or maybe not unfortunately, but it is definitely a very poor plan for being in relationships. We were a prey to misery and depression. Got to check those two off, too. Because if I'm irritating, not irritating, but if I'm in conflict with other people, I certainly am not having I certainly was living a life of misery and depression. And I'm not going to go through with the rest of these, but obviously, I think for most of us, but I will just speak for myself, it is such a blessing to not have to go into these bedevilments every single day of my life or live there. And it's only been through putting the food down and any other addictive substance. You know, I had to go through quitting smoking and a few other things. But putting down any kind of addictive activity, which means basically Margaret had to stop trying to be the boss and trying to run the show. And then once that, you know, the actual physical putting down of whatever the addiction was took place, then the next thing that had to happen was the spiritual awakening. And it, for me, it's a daily thing. It's a minute-by-minute thing. And
reminder?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'm just so grateful that this book shows me, first of all, what I've got, and then secondly, how to contact my higher power so that there is a way out and my God can do that for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you haven't shared in the last 3 meetings and you'd like to comment, please press *1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you. We're commenting on page
Susan
56.
P. from Georgia.
Gotcha, Susan P.
ENF, Indiana.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Ian F.
Ian F., thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else like to get in the lineup? Okay.
Carolyn S. H.
Janice. Okay, I heard Carolyn S. H. and Janice P.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Juanita Sen.
Okay, that sounds like a great lineup. We've got Susan P., Ian F., Carolyn S.H., Janice P.M., and Juanita N. Please share with us, Suzanne.
Hi, this is Susan P. I'm calling from Georgia. And I caught the tail end of the 7 a.m. meeting, and there was someone who spoke who said that actually his life got worse, but the devilments got worse once he got in recovery. And I understand that because, you know, when God willing, we let go of the food, but we haven't gone through the steps. I mean, we're standing there emotionally naked. And the thought came to me about all the tremendous suffering that goes on in this program. I'm talking to a lady now who's really tried, but she's not there yet. And I was thinking of a concept called Kaizen, K-A-I-Z-E-N, which is a Japanese concept of changing your life, making little changes. And, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe suggesting that, you know, she do one thing. I sent her a text, one thing, abstain in one meal or let go of one binge food or something. Better to succeed at one thing than fail at everything. And I know that people out there might say, you know, might dispute this. And if you do, you know, I'm on the members list, Susan P., like in Peter from Georgia, I'd like to hear. But I'm thinking of a story that I heard many years ago about someone who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, and they left a suicide note saying that if one person talks to them or smiles at them or reaches out to them, they're not going to do it. And obviously that didn't happen. And I just feel like even if a person is not in recovery, I just want to be a loving presence because, you know, I'm 3 months abstinent. I'm very ecstatically grateful. But I've been in the program 48 years, and there was a lot of suffering in that, a lot of suffering. And today I'm abstinent, and I'm, you know, working the 12 steps and doing what I can. It doesn't come natural. It's still a work in progress. And I've let go of any expectations. That's one of the things in the set-aside prayer, you know, that I'm supposed to feel a certain way. I think becoming food neutral and being comfortable working the program comes with long-term abstinence. And I don't care. I'm just grateful to be in recovery one day at a time. But I just want to be a loving presence to someone because, you know, people, as we know, people die from this illness. Maybe not quickly like drug overdoses, but from illness, their diabetes, heart disease. And if there's anything I can do, I have no illusion that I can get someone abstinent, say the magic words, because I had great sponsors. No one got me abstinent, so I just made the decision to go for it. But love is for fun and for free, expecting nothing in return, and that's how I'm trying to live. And I just, if I can be a loving presence, whether a person is in recovery or not, I feel like I'm doing my job. And what does it cost me? I'll just finish with that. 1 minute text saying, hi, thinking of you, wishing you faith and courage. Have a great day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Susan P. Ian F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Carolyn S.H. Please share with us, Ian.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Ian F. out of Indiana, compulsive reader. Very grateful to be here. I really appreciate the developments because I think they summarized what the disease feels like better than anywhere else in the book. And, you know, the doctor's opinion is a really great factual, like, exploration of what my disease is physically and mentally. But the part that made me want to recover was that I saw someone, like I saw in this book when they listed these things out, and you go down this list of things, and like the lead chair said, it's check, 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 you know. And this is a great barometer, not just for people who are new, but anyone in the program. Like, I've experienced all of these things while in program, while recovered, while food neutral, whatever. I mean, these are human problems. It says right there at the top, you know, and looking at these things and seeing them listed out in this book is a reminder to me that, you know, they are not inevitable and they are not permanent. And if I'm experiencing those things, it's because my emotional sobriety is suffering in some way, you know, which again is a sickness. It's not a moral failing, you know. Couldn't be of real help to other people. Like that, I mean, that stuff is so real, you know. But what the list is getting at is, was not a basic solution of all of these more important than whether we should see newsreels of Lynn or Flight. In other words, like, isn't getting out of this way more important than my success at work or whether I have a girlfriend or how many people at the meeting look at me when I share? You know, this is the hardest thing. You know, what am I willing to let go of in terms of what I know for these things to be let go, for these bedevilments to be let go? Because these are the real symptoms. That's what I've got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. Carolyn S. H., you're up next, followed by Janice P. M.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Carolyn S. H. from Massachusetts, recovered for today. I'm grateful for that. I looked up the devilment, and I can't look at it right now, but I think it said the noun to the verb, the devil, which means to torment or harass maliciously, to be hampered, that kind of thing. And I very much identify with that. And I love this whole chapter. And one of the things I've learned about this chapter is it outlines three reasons why we should be willing to believe. And the list of these bedevilments, like was said in another share, for me, and I heard, I get this saying from AA, I've heard it said that, you know, this is how I am sober. This is how I am abstinent. And in the context of this chapter, it's laying out, you know, this was a bigger problem than something like lunar flight. Like, if humankind can put a man on the moon, then, you know, why should I not believe that my problems can be solved? And these are my problems. And one of my past OA sponsors said, if you want to know why you do something, like why you eat a certain food, why you indulge in a certain compulsive behavior, stop doing it and see what happens. And what happens are these bedevilments. Like also was said earlier, the solution is the steps, is doing the steps, living in the steps. And that's all I got this morning. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S.H. Janice P.M., you are up next, followed by Wenice N. Please share with us, Janice.
Well, thank you so much, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Well, this is the famous be called bedevilments. And boy, when I first read it, I said, well, I don't know if this is my life, like, you know, but guess what? When we go through, first of all, I have a physical problem of eating compulsively, but I have to remember that I have a spiritual malady. Now, all this stuff here in this paragraph explains to me the spiritual malady. It tells me what I couldn't do. Now, this is step two. So I have to say, oh, maybe in step two I get all these, you know, I don't even know that these are bedevilments until I get going into these steps. And, you know, I know from my experience, and somebody mentioned it, when I came to this meeting, A Vision for You, I heard, and I did see when I went to conventions, proof of the reality of solving their problem. They had the same problem as me. It's funny, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a compulsive overeater, you have this spiritual malady. And so when I saw them solve their problems by a simple reliance upon, they call the spirit of the universe, of the power of God, which I call my higher power, then I started opening my mind and said, you know what? Maybe I have to ask myself, please, dear God, or whoever, give me the willingness to try to change, try to think about new things, be willing to believe. See, that's the crux in step two, is to see, to experience the power after we go through these steps to get a spiritual awakening. But I can honestly tell you, after going through these steps, all these bedevilments were changed. No, was my life peaches and cream? No. But guess what? This is the promise. You're going to get through these things. I mean, I just got, my self-will was full of chaos, frustration, exhaustion. But I let the opening of the willingness to a power come into my life. Not what I expected my life to be. I never expected to have 4 or 5 cancers. Get cancer.
That's a reminder.
Well, yeah. But I just want to thank you. I heard you. Thank you so much. You know, but I am never, and I haven't been ever, let down by starting to be willing to believe in a higher power. And we're gonna get all these things back after step 9. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. Okay, up next we have Juanis N. And after Juanis, we're going to take another lineup. We're reading and commenting on page 52, paragraph 2, which begins with, "We had to ask ourselves," and ends with, "Of course it was." So please share with us, Juanis.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis N., as in Nancy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for all of the great shares that I've heard this morning already. What a privilege I feel like this is to be able to share my story, my experience with this. Man, you know, when I read these bedevilments, I think of if it was in the dictionary, my face would be next to it. Like, yeah, that's me. It just describes my life. It describes my life from as far back as I could remember, where I was always having problems with personal relationships in my family. I felt like I was adopted, but sooner or later they were going to tell me the truth that, you know, I just don't fit in here. And I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. And being a prey to misery and depression, I used to have a saying that I had called Black Tuesdays. And it seemed like every Tuesday I was just so depressed that surely there had to be something wrong with me, that I needed some kind of pill or some kind of something, because it just wasn't right. What I realized, though, after coming into this process and surrendering my will and my life over to the care of God, his watchful attention, you know, that and working these steps, that, you know, I was miserable because I was always only thinking about me. I showed up in my life everywhere, every day, completely selfish and inconsiderate, and only caring about satisfying me. Never once, thank God, this process and this program teaches me that my happiness is in caring about other people and forgetting about myself. My misery is because I'm always dwelling on me. I can't get along with other people because I'm never thinking about them and what they want. All I'm thinking about is me and what I want all the time. You know, this process, thought I was coming in to get abstinent, lose weight and all that, and it has shown me how
Juanis, we're not hearing you right now.
I'm sorry, I got kicked, but anyway, I'm just so grateful that I have a blueprint for successful living today, because I never felt like I could get anywhere in life, because I was always in conflict. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I'm so proud to be a part of this fellowship. You guys just don't know how much you all mean to me. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll pass.
Right back at you, Juanis, and thank you so much for your share. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of minutes and you'd like to comment on page 52, paragraph 2, please let me know.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G.
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina.
Patricia Ann D.
Andy T. from California.
I heard somebody from California and somebody else came in right at the same time.
Sandy T.
And who else?
Reba N. Reba N.
I'm sorry. Is it Leva N?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. And I feel like I missed somebody else in there. Anybody else want to? I have Larry G, Patricia N, D, Sandra. Did I miss anybody, or is there anybody else you'd like to get in this lineup? Okie doke. Let's go with this then. Larry G., you're up next first, and then Patricia and Dee will follow you. Please share with us. Larry?
Good morning. This is Larry G. from California. I just love you guys. What great shares this morning. I have never been in a OA fellowship like this one I'm in. I just feel like at times I'm in like an OA, I'm in a revival meeting. I have identified more with your group of fellows than I have ever identified with any other group in OA. I just love a visions for you. And if I can't make it here, I won't make it anywhere. I'm grateful for the bedevilments. Today, not when I was prostrate on the floor, you know, in 2020 before my surrender, but today I'm grateful for it. And I don't want to talk about the bedevilments like they're a past tense, like, yeah, this happened to me 4.5 years ago before I got in a vision for you. No, no, no. As Ian was saying, I experienced the bedevilments, you know, throughout my absence, even the last week. Anytime I'm experiencing restlessness, irritable, discontent, that to me is unsober-like behavior, and that is a result of the devilments. And I'm grateful because this is why. I really can't say for sure, but if I didn't have this disease, would I have the kind of connection that I have to God today? Because these bedevilments drove me to God. I didn't like, oh, I'm inviting God in my life, right? Hey, God, come in my life. I'm inviting you. No, I was desperate, you know, suicidal. I didn't have any way out. That's what the bedevilments got me to, the point it got me to in 2020. And I believe because of my disease, it has drawn me closer to God. I don't know if I was a normie and I was going to church on Sundays, and would that be it? Would I have this deep relationship with God today that I literally break down in tears sometimes when I feel that love, that presence, and I'm trying to pass it on the best I can. I'm trying to be a light in this world, this dark world. Sometimes my light's dim, but today it's pretty bright, and I'm pretty excited about today and what is unfolding. And I've got some people I'm going to be working with today, and I want to bring it. You know, my sponsor brings it every morning. And we've been talking a lot about long-held beliefs, which are referred to as old ideas, and how those old ideas have been driving Larry's bus for a long time. You know, I'm not driving my bus. These old ideas are, and I'm getting to look at them each and every day, and I have a sponsor that's bringing the light. The sponsor's bringing the light. I want to do the same thing. I want to bring the light to the world because my time is up, and I pass it back to you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Okay, Patricia Andy, you're up next, followed by Sandra T.
Good morning, everybody. This is Patricia Ann, and yeah, I've been listening very intently since for a while now. Actually, I'm actually abstinent for the, I don't know, since August 1st or July 31st, but I like to start the beginning of the month. So it's not very long, but there's a different way of doing it this go round. And in this particular paragraph where it says changing our viewpoint, but right above that, the sentence right in the end of the paragraph below that, I mean, above that, it says, throw away the theory or gadget which does not work. And for me, my theory was, you know, I got this. I can do this. I have to do this. This is my body. I know what to put in my body. I know how to eat healthy. I know I have to weigh and measure. I know I have to, whatever I do, the exercise. I know I got to do this. The theory of, you know, why can't, you know, I can do this myself, the theory, and throw it away, change my viewpoint. My whole viewpoint is, no, you cannot, and you need God's help. And all of these, you know, trouble with the relationships, you know, controlling my, all these, prey to misery, depression, you know, couldn't make a living. I've changed jobs more than I know. and because I get bored. I'll get bored with the job, and it's like, you know, after a year or so, it's like, okay, all right, I got this job down, now what? You know, it's like now it's repetition and I don't like it anymore. But the truth is, it's not up to me anymore. It's up to God on where he wants to use me. And everything was about me. Everything was about me. And that's sad, you know. And I'm learning to pay attention and to listen and to spend my time with God and to get on these meetings and talk to people and to do what God say do is to get involved in the program. I wouldn't get involved in the program. I just wouldn't, you know, but there are many sick people out there like me that need help and that don't understand why they can't stop eating. They don't understand, you know, and so I am now getting there into the steps. And so I can't wait to become able to put my name out there to sponsor. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia Ann D. Up next is Sandra T. in California, followed by Leva N.
Good morning. This is Sandy T. from California. I want to thank everybody for all of their shares. I know we can't do crosstalk, but every time I get online, I am so inspired by the things that people say. Well, I'm calling because yesterday I had a crazy day. And you know why I know I was crazy? Because I felt that only food would help me. And I wanted to eat, and I didn't want any help. That's a really scary place to be. I was praying to God, but I didn't want him to stop me from eating. I was calling others, but I didn't want any help. I just, to keep me from picking up. I did call my sponsor. We had a good talk about me upping my meetings, and I did a 10-step and felt a whole lot less fear than I had had before. Then that last night I went to a meeting, and I was honest with them, you know, that I had turned to food. They let me lead the meeting, but I didn't share very much because I had very little hope to share with anybody. And little by little, as the meeting went on, the food receded from my heart. It became smaller and smaller. Today I woke up, and there was a glorious sunrise. And I was up because I was listening to the earlier version of A Vision for You. And I know that God is here for me today. Yesterday was a lesson. It was not a life sentence. And that's how I'm looking at it. Thank you all for being there. You're just the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Sandy T. Okay, Leva N. is up next, and we'll have time for a couple more shares after Leva at... We're on page 52, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Leva.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you hear. You sound great.
Thank you. I really appreciated all the shares before me, and I'm finding myself in a place that although I'm in the program for close to 9 years, I've never been in a place where I'm so desperate. I'm so desperate to be in a place where all these bedevilments don't control me, and I can be in a place where I can be of service to the people in my life. And I'm doing the steps again, Allison, the sponsor, and I'm at a point where I did my fourth step, and I listed my character defects, and we discussed them. And we discussed the opposite of it. And I can honestly say there are some times in my life, my current life, where things just are so overwhelming and I just revert back. But just to eat and just to numb myself and not feel and just be oblivious to the way I'm behaving. But I'm at a point where it's not working for me. And I'm at a point where I wake up every morning and I just pray to God, for the God of my understanding, that to help me behave in a way that that the one was what he would want for me, and it's to stop thinking about myself. Stop thinking about all my selfish needs and just being present and showing up. And if there's anyone that has experience with that, that would be willing to share it with me, I would appreciate my phone numbers on the contact list of how they apply that to their daily life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much, Leva N. Would anybody else like to comment? We have room for two, possibly three, but definitely two more shares.
Kim A.
Kim A. Anyone else?
Linda G. from Alabama.
From Alabama. Okay, let's go with you two and see where we are after that. Kim A., please share with us. You'll be followed by Linda G.
Thank you. Am I still unmuted?
You are still unmuted. You sound great.
Thank you. Hi, it's Kim A. from New York City. The Big Book makes it really, really clear that alcohol is not the problem, right? And so for me, that means that food is not the problem. The bedevilments are the problem. The bedevilments are my twisted mind, my twisted attitudes, and my misperceptions, all of these lies that I'm operating on. I'm navigating my entire lifetime with these like erroneous thoughts that are leading me into living a life and self-pity and fear. That is what's leading me to the food, not what I'm eating. My problem isn't sugar. My problem isn't any particular ingredient. My problem isn't anything related to food. My problem is my thinking, right? And we see that over and over in the Big Book that, you know, if the problem was alcohol, then they could just not take that first drink and they would be fine, right? And so for 18 years in OA, when I was a ginormous failure at sticking to a food plan and getting and staying abstinent and nothing I tried worked, I didn't understand that it was because I'm a chronic compulsive eater. Being chronic, according to Dr. Silkworth, is when like human aid solutions will not work. And for me, that included a food plan. For me, that included anything trying to control and manage my food. I can't do that. And so all of those years where I tried to do that, that just led me right back into the bedevilments, because on top of, you know, my regular like crazy thinking, now I'm like feeling extra like desperate and hopeless, because everyone, it felt like everyone around me in OA was figuring out some way of staying absent, and I couldn't do it. So, you know, this is dedicated to anybody who is in that position or who has not had success with a food plan or with manage your food. It wasn't until I found another way, you know, I found another way working the 12 steps, not worrying about a food plan, just like the alcoholics didn't have to worry about triggers. They didn't have to live their lives in fear around alcohol. I finally learned that my problem's not triggers. The trigger is in my head. It's like, you know, the call from the serial killer is coming like within the house. It's like that same idea. It had nothing to do with like any food triggers. It had to do with my thinking. And once I did my fourth and fifth step with my sponsor, exactly, thanks, I'll wrap up, as it was written in the Big Book, I was able to go on and eventually find relief. And when I found relief from my thinking, that's when food kind of ceased to become an issue. So this is Kim A. from New York City. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kim A. And Linda G., please share with us. Linda?
This is Linda G., a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, restrictor, and anorexic. Recovering one day at a time. These for all the symptoms of my illness, and they were running my life, and they were what led me to the food, to the binging and the purging. And I was in OA for 2 years before I fell out and went into a 30-year relapse that broke my heart. And fortunately, I got a steroid shot that caused me to binge for 3 days, that led me screaming back into OA and led me to the visions meetings. And I found abstinence, and I found a nutritionist through some visions people. And I have a program today that's working for me, and I am so grateful. I am recovering a day at a time, and I am ready to sponsor, and I am learning that abstinence is a state of mind. It's more than just a food plan. It's changing the way you live a day at a time, and changing your point of view a day at a time. It's changing the way you look at life. It's changing everything. It's putting your higher power first and foremost, and letting your higher power lead the way. And I am so grateful for that. My higher power, I discovered my higher power several years ago, and forgot all about my commitment to him. And reintroduced to me in this program, and I was reminded that I have a commitment to my higher power in this program, and that means everything to me, because that is showing me how to live my life one day at a time. With that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Linda G. We'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Diane B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay, good morning. Thank you so much. Page 164, I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.